This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 20th of November, 1953. The title of this lecture is Resistance to Effect. This tape is 53 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions. Please note, this tape ends abruptly as did the original master recording.
This is November the 20th. And the first morning lecture, and this morning we're going to talk about duplication. If I start lecturing you in a couple of minutes, don't be surprised. Just click your own French register and we'll carry on. The processes which you have learned to date, you may regard as introductory or elementary. I have simply been wheeling up the 16-inch guns and letting you have large explosive shells in the belly. Because we are dealing with the essentials, we are not dealing with the fundamentals. We are dealing with the very stripped-down workability. We're not dealing with the theory. We're dealing with intense practicality. And as far as you are concerned, we are dealing with the way you open a case, yours. And even though we are using it so that it is amounts to, although these groups are very small, we're using it essentially just as a group type of process. But that doesn't mean that you can escape individuality in processing. But individual processing comes about on a step one. Shame on two people, it doesn't matter. These processors will just keep gunshotting and they just keep working, you understand? Well, let's get it up to a point where you can unlock the body and be elsewhere. You get that, what we're trying to do. Now let's just get to a point where the body vanishes and you can put it there and not put it there and put it there and put it not put it there, and where you can handle your own bank, where you can put it there and not put it there and put it there and not put it there. And then certainly you are free to be where you please without the interruption of flows or anything like it. And that's what we're trying to achieve. From there on, an individual has to have some individual oddity. But you can get up to that point without individual auditing, because the same doggone thing is wrong with every single one of you. Same thing, straight across the boards. It's wrong in varying degrees, but the variance of those is so slight as to be almost undetectable. Practically anybody here, except those that are already step ones, will find themselves clicking in and out of blackness as they're processed. Bing, bang, bing, bang. On go the lights, off go the lights, and so forth. Well, we're dealing with the essentials. Why does this happen? Automaticity. The machine, which is at the same time no further responsibility for that machine, which in itself is the definition for automaticity. Something set up automatically to run without further attention from yourself, which means immediately that you've selected it out as a randomity. So you're not any longer predicting its motion, so therefore it's predicting your motion. So it's unpredictable as far as you're concerned. As you run this, these randomities click in and out, become uncontrollable and so forth, and then controllable again. You make a person do what the randomity is doing and make him handle it. He takes over ownership of it. It ceases to be automaticity. Now understand this. Anything in your environment which has apparently been out of control itself had a tendency to set up as an automaticity. You understand that? The sea, for instance, sets itself up as an automaticity. Why? Because men don't control it. You see what other insidious ways there are to set up an automaticity. We won't go into those particularly because that's not important. Men feel they don't control it because they have gone down to it in ships and have raised other barriers and limitations upon their control of the sea. The actuality is they have to put the sea there to sail upon it. Now, here we have our problem. Everybody who is alive and can perceive anything is sitting on the postulate survive. But how do we state survive? We state it, something to survive must resist all effects. So everybody is sitting on this postulate, resist all effects. And that's the highest limiting barrier. All other barriers are junior to that barrier. Because that in itself is survival. Now, it also means that there must be a conflicting postulate in there, that other things which one has to combat in order to survive must not resist all effects. And everything is set up to resist all effects. And so you wonder why, when you've been processing a pre-clear, he kept sitting there like a log of wood. He's got to resist all effects. But because he was resisting your auditing effect, he became a randomity to you because he was not controllable. You see that? So the reason why your Scientologist finds himself a different kind of case is because he has set up another resist-all-effects machine. The PC is sitting there resisting all effects. So he has auditing resist-all-effects of. And he's had these PCs in front of him who are resisting all effects. And this, of course, keys in the bank on change of ridges and mental attitudes. And because we've been shooting so high into this stuff, we, of course, without triggering out that postulate, throw things into restimulation, which just simply stay in restimulation to some degree. Now, that has been, to some slight degree, the danger in this. I knew this factor existed, but to find an easily communicated process which would in itself care for it. Easily communicated. I could do this, have been able to consistently here. But how to get that down so that we could really communicate it and say, these are the essentials we're working with. All right, so what I'm telling you in these last few days, I'm just giving you those essentials. I don't expect you to understand them, even vaguely, just use them. Because by using them, you'll understand. And you'll understand the whole gamut of human behavior. There it is. Survive, which means resist all effects. Which means, at the same time, you must reduce all other effects, which are contra survival. An individual, to survive, must, in every portion of his beingness, resist the bulk of the effects. He feels at last that he has to have effects from somewhere else on the DEI cycle. See that? He's inhibited other effects to a point where other effects have inhibited him to a point where he started to cave in. Acceptance level processing is wonderful. You'll find an actual thirst for such things as excretion, disease, and so forth. An actual hunger is built up for this simply by inversion of the enforcement. It gets down to inhibition and then hang. Here the fellow goes. He's got a hunger for this stuff. You'll be amazed what happens. But by the way, acceptance level processing does not get you there. It is an educational process. It comes under SOP 8L. You want to teach somebody about life, you run all these odds and ends which are demonstrating things. It's not a good process for a class to use because you're right straight up into the stratosphere, kicking in postulates continually on resist all effects until the case gets rougher and rougher, you see? So we just have to turn it around this way and process straight on its heaviest essentials. Now, you don't have to process the public that way. You can go out to the public, you can match terminal lists and run a concept and et cetera, and things happen. The funny part of it is they get down into exactly these same strata when they're real bad off. They've triggered everything in on resist all effects. And you'll find some girl who is having a terrible time on the second dynamic, just real rough,
And you'll find out she's in the middle of a second dynamic, resist all effects, but she must have the effect, but she can't have any effect, and here we go. You don't have to worry even about the anatomy of maybe. You don't even have to worry about the anatomy of a ridge. You don't have to worry about anything like this. Let's just take these essentials. Survive is resist all effects, but then you've got to make an effect on other things which are resisting all effects in order to keep them from existing. You get how this is. It's a tug of war between a set of postulates which resist all effects and which must cancel other effects against a set of postulates which themselves must resist all effects and cancel other effects. We get persistence out of this, but we get persistence which is automatic. Now, what is responsibility? Responsibility is not necessarily the action of operating something, but the feeling that one can operate something. If one feels that he can handle or operate something, he has responsibility for it. So where is the responsibility of your PC going? It's going down the drain into automaticity, because he has delivered over some function of his life and beingness into other responsibility. Of course, it's still his responsibility, but he has said it's other responsibility. And so this goes into a winning spiral where at last an individual feels he can't be responsible for anything, and he has to start signing other cause. What is the actual other cause? What is the villain of the piece? Himself, he's the villain of the piece, and the other cause that he is combating is his own automatic machinery. And that automatic machinery has underlined each and every portion of it, every ridge, every type of training which he has, every piece of energy which he's hoarding has under it, must resist all effects. This is survival. This is how he keeps going. He has a feeling like he is moving along a time track because he thinks of himself as a communication particle. He is not a communication particle. He is actually motionless. The particles are moving. He is not and never will move. There is no such thing as a progress through time on the part of the Thetan, but time progresses past the Thetan. If you can get this sort of an idea of you with a bird's eye view of an enormous number of particles which are shifting and changing continually, you don't shift and change ever. But you can sure shift and change the location of the particles with relationship to you. But the particles never change you. You never age. There is no age. But the particles age. Why do they age? Because you say they do. This is simplicity itself. Now we've got the cycle of action, which is the cycle of action of the Thetan, which is create, persist, and destroy. Now that cycle of action is cared for when we say resist all effects. We've cared for the exact middle of it. And anybody who is alive or conscious is running somewhere in the middle of that band, close to one end or close to the other end, but he's somewhere in the middle, which is survive, must resist all effects. Of course, he gets along the line, he mingles that up. Must cancel all effects, which are leveled against me, is resist all effects, you see. So let's get over here to create and find out what's there. Create is the ability to make a postulate. If you can unmake postulates, you can make postulates. So we've gotten over here to destroy. We've got both ends of it. They're immediately in the same statement. In order to make postulates, you certainly must be able to unmake postulates. But unlimited making of postulates without unmaking any postulates is chaos. That's you. And we get over here to destruction. The unlimited effort to unmake postulates without making any, that's a real rough one. And that is a sort of a frantic state of trying madly to knock all the mess to pieces when all one should do is knock the postulates to pieces. That's a perfectly simple final analysis. All right, so to solve the problem, we must solve that proposition on postulates. Must resist all effects. You don't have to handle any other postulate than that. You see, survive, persist, must resist all effects, must retain effects. All of these things come under the same statement and heading. You state it in various ways, any way under the shape of the sun that you want to, but it's still that postulate survive, which is must resist all effects, which is persistence, which is no effects must have any effect upon me. Nobody is cause but me. everybody is trying to be cause but me, and I have to resist their causes. You could just go on and make a dictionary full of statements, and it would become the English language, or the French language, or the Russian language. Where we have a preclear, we have these problems. Where we have persistence, because nothing does endure, and because there's nothing but a postulate, we have the other one, duplication. There isn't a single particle in that ashtray that endures for a split second. No endurance. So one has to set up postulate machines to make postulates, which postulates will say, exist, 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 exist. Brup, 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 brup. You start running this sort of thing, and a person very often feels the messed universe going all out of plumb, himself all out of plumb, and his head disappearing, his body disappearing, and this going this way, and that going that way. So what? You can put it all back together again. You're always, at every moment, with these processes we're using right now, dealing with an echelon which a person can handle. A psycho can handle this, if you can even vaguely get in communication with him. Just vaguely. Of course, every time you make him duplicate anything to parallel a machine of any kind, you'll put him more in control of his automaticity. His somatics inevitably, although they flare a tiny bit, they inevitably progressively get less. Now, you can fully expect them, however, because you're knocking out various types of machinery, that if you don't hit somewhere close to the machinery they're actually trying to make resist all effects, if you don't hit somewhere close to that, it's going to cave at heady. So sometimes you want to ask somebody what he's been doing, you know, and if he's getting into trouble with highly generalized techniques, just ask him what he's been doing to get a specific account of what his primary interest had been in this lifetime. And you'll find it's been this or that or something of the sort. You find out he's been a painter. Boy, has he been trying to get paint to resist all effects. And then he's trying to keep paint from resisting all effects. And then he's finally decided it was bad for business for his paint to save the surface and save all, because he could paint more often, that'd be more work. So he doesn't want paint to resist all effects. Basically, paint must resist all effects. That's why he starts to paint the walls and so forth. And then after he changes the postulate around, just the dwindling spiral, so the paint must not resist all effects. And then it gets into, he must resist all the effects of paint. You see how that is? So he's gotten down the bottom, and here you have some fellow who's been standing on scaffolding for 22 years, something like that, and you're processing his primary automaticity, the one that's really live and sitting there ready to trigger, has to do with paint. So you just have him start putting up paint. If he can only get blackness, have him put up black paint that must resist all effects. Or black paint which must not resist all effects. Or black paint which mustn't affect him. And you just keep putting it up. But how do you put this up? Well, remember, duplication. You got to have a machine going pocket to pocket to pocket. You think, you don't. But you think you've got to have a machine going pocket to pocket to pocket, duplicate, 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 duplicate. So let's take over the essential elements of automaticity. We do that by creation and destruction, or by wasting the machinery itself, and, of course, saving, accepting, desiring, being curious about the machinery, and duplicating. Duplication is the essence. Duplication, because step two is automaticity, falls right under step two. Bang. Unless you permit a continuous duplication on the part of the preclear, the case is going to come up just so far, and it's going to level off. You're going to wonder why the case leveled up. Well, it leveled up because you were letting him let something persist, and then he sits there and lets it persist. You tell him to match terminal something, and he puts up two beings, and they stand there. You'll do this very happily if you stop around the level of 5 or 6 and you're solving at least 1 and 2 level processes. Ooh. He put up somebody. He just leave it there. He puts up a black curtain. He'll hold on to it. I made a test on this one time, and one of them was perfectly agreeable to hold the black curtain for 5 hours. In other words, obey its postulate that it must persist. Well, the second that you make him obey its postulate, his case does not progress, does it? You see, he's obeying the markup. So let him put the postulate in there, put a black curtain that must persist, and then immediately put up another one. That must persist forever, and then put up another one. That must persist forever, put up another one. That must persist forever, put up another one. That resists all effects forever, put up another one. That must persist, another one. That mustn't affect you. Another one that must resist all pain. Something on this order. You know, this person's. Now, what's this tell you? Another one must resist all tiredness or something like that. You can get terrifically specific. But by the way, you can get far, far, far too specific. You can think too much for this. If you just obey this fundamental material, duplicate it, get it so that it resists all effects, and keep putting it up. You've got it licked. The essential difference between your own universe and the other fellow's universe and the messed universe is that you're making yours. And that part of it which you're doing a good job on is the messed universe. And that part of it which you're doing a lousy job on, you say, is your own universe. And then you try to go into competition with messed. Oh, how can you go into competition with you? You'll only be on two sides of the chessboard. As soon as a person starts to go into real arduous competition with messed, he goes into real arduous competition with himself, of course. So he's defeating himself all the time because the best thing he's doing is the messed universe. And the worst thing he's doing is what he's calling still his. It's just a problem in automaticity. You can tell somebody, be the messed universe, be your own universe, be the messed universe, be your own universe, and you go, wow. Not a recommended process. All right, now let's take this and see how duplication affects this. Remember that to have an ashtray here over a period of time requires this matter of duplication. You got an ashtray, you got an ashtray, you got an ashtray, you got an ashtray. Every one of you can see these ashtrays. I hold it up. It's got a machine saying, there's an ashtray, there's an ashtray, there's an ashtray, there's an ashtray, there's an ashtray. At what speed is it saying? Boy, that's really interesting. The speed of 1 over C. That's real fast. It's just gorgeous. Of course, that isn't fast unless you say it's fast. You can speed some preclear up remarkably so that he'll consider that slow. You can actually speed somebody up to a point where he, out of his body, can watch a photon going by. Well, it's gotten 5 feet. No? It's very interesting. You see, he just doesn't consider it fast. He can run at any speed. All right. So this ashtray here has a persistency which depends upon duplication. So persistency depends upon duplication. Get that? You don't put up something and then it just persists. If you put up something and it persists, it's because you're saying, duplicate, duplicate, duplicate. So there's an essential part of the machinery you're not taking control of, which is duplicate, duplicate, duplicate. See? So you must duplicate it in order to take over an essential part of the machinery. Because the essential part of automaticity is duplicate. All right, now let's get an idea here of what this is. Now just look at this wall and get the idea if you're putting it here and you can blink your eyes or something of this sort and just get it here, duplicate it, duplicate, 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 duplicate. You keep that up very long, the walls start to wobble on you, which is, of course, upsetting to people because they haven't taken over the basic controls of duplication. So let's go about it this way, which is not even vaguely uncomfortable. Let's put some sadness in this wall up here. Now let's duplicate. Now let's duplicate the sadness. Now let's duplicate the sadness. Now let's duplicate the sadness on the side wall. Now let's duplicate the sadness over on this wall. Now let's duplicate the sadness in the ceiling. Let's duplicate the sadness in the floor. Possibly much too fast for some of you. But there's the process. See? And this is chronic sadness machine. And you're just shooting it to pieces. Now, there's people who have chronic apathy machines. Are they actually in a state of apathy? No. They have a machine which duplicates their apathy. All right, now they've got a machine which duplicates. Remember that the basic machine is always some kind of a simple postulate rig. But other people have come along and used the machine later. So there's all sorts of locks come flying off of these machines. But don't think for a moment that those locks belong to anybody but you. You have to have a basic agreement with your basic postulates with the rest of the universe. You wouldn't see it at all. So let's tamper with the mechanism with the PC slowly and give him assurance. Don't make his whole body vanish. Just say, pang, make your body vanish. Because he's actually liable to. He's like, body gone. And all of a sudden say, oh, my God, it's gone. And now you've got him all upset, and some auditor has to come along and spend an hour or so with him trying to get him over this sprite. Yeah, some fellow mocks up some terrific mock-up. He just gets going just fine, and some auditor then says to him, well, all right, now, mock up a big rabbit walking towards you. He does. See, and he does have a big rabbit walking toward him that's going clank, clank, clank. Oh. Well, somebody will have to work with him for maybe 2-3 hours, see, to get him out of this startlement. He was told to make a rabbit, and he didn't believe he could still make rabbits like that. And by gosh, he did. Of course, he immediately had to say, at the instant he made it, and it surprised him, that it's somebody else's rabbit. Why? Because it scares me. So, you see the essentials of this?
This lecture is continued on side 2 of this cassette.
Now we can put this down very simply. You put emotions into mess and into mock-ups. You can put it in brackets. And as a matter of fact, today, you'll start putting it in brackets and duplicate it. Now, we don't then, today, from here on, now that we've gotten our tip end of the large right toe damp with this, let's go in to a point where we at least cover the nail of that toe, which is, whenever you put up something, duplicate it in all the walls and in any other part of the scenery exteriorized, I mean outside the building. If you don't have a person with any sense, by the way, and do that outside the house, it's quite fascinating. A lot of times, whatever you've got there, put it out a lot of times, and then put it out in a bracket. Each time, several times. Okay? Now here'd be an example. In all four walls of this room, floor and ceiling, with sadness. Then, somebody else putting sadness. All four walls of the room, floor and ceiling. See, they do that one after the other. Not just put it all in that, because that's just one time. We want a duplication. We want some sadness in that wall, sadness in that wall. We have somebody else putting some sadness in the back wall, sadness in the front wall. All right, after he's done it a number of times, we have somebody doing it for somebody else. Have somebody put some sadness in the walls for somebody else. Have put it in the side wall, front wall, back wall, top wall, bottom wall, so for somebody else. Now, have somebody else putting some sadness in the walls for you. And we again run this front wall, back wall, right side walls, left side wall, floor and ceiling. Now, you putting it in the walls for somebody else. And again, sadness. You putting sadness in the side wall for somebody else. Sadness in the other wall for somebody else. Sadness in the back wall for somebody else. Sadness in the front wall for somebody else. Sadness in the ceiling for somebody else. Sadness in the floor for somebody else. See that? And those of you who are still having a fearsome problem with occlusion, you know, that one is solved with a bracket with black panels. Now, although we're still working squarely with the mess universe, you'll find out that some of these work with their own universe much more easily. That's quite all right, because they built their own barriers. Their barriers are, to them,
more remarkably strong than the barriers of the mesh universe. And so, when you run brackets on them, remember to run it in their own universe and in the mesh universe. Each one with a bracket. In other words, get a mock-up. A black mock-up. And duplicate it, and duplicate it, and duplicate it. Now, there's an exercise for just straight blackness, which is quite remarkable. You just put it up in a bracket. You put up about 5, 6, 8, 10, doesn't matter how many, for each part of the bracket of 5. A black panel that must persist and resist. Get the feeling of effort to persist and resist in it. Now, they get the postulates into it more easily with a feeling. You know, they make it feel that it must resist instead of think that it must resist. Well, you'll have more blackness and somatics flying around than you care to run into for a long time. You keep making it persist. Keep making it persist. You see? All right? And you do it in this fashion. All right? And you put up a black panel for yourself that must persist. Put up another one. Put up another one. Put up another one. Now have somebody else put up a black panel for himself that must persist. Have him put up another one. Of course, they just get the vaguest and foggiest notion that there's somebody else doing it, but that's all you want. Somebody else putting up a black panel. Somebody else putting up a black panel. Somebody else putting up a black panel. All right. Now, let's get somebody putting up a black panel for somebody else. Now, have the panel resist. Get them putting it up, resisting. And put it up, resisting all evil. And put it up, resisting all effects. Resisting all evil. Okay. Now, have somebody put up a black panel for you. Right. Now I'll put up another one. I'll put up one that resists all evil, one that resists all effects, one that resists all pain, one that resists all tiredness. Okay, vary it enough to keep up their interest, but what you're doing is duplicating a black panel. All right, have you put up a black panel for somebody else now? I'll put up a black panel that must persist, another black panel that must persist for somebody else. Another one that must persist for somebody else. Another one that must persist for somebody else. Okay. Now, I'll get you putting up a black panel for yourself. And here we go. Now, let's put up this black panel with some effort in it. All right. Put up another one with some effort in it. Put up another one with some effort in it. Another one with some effort in it. Now, have somebody else putting up a black panel for himself. And put up one with some effort in it. Another one with some effort. Another one with some effort. Another one with some effort. About this time, some member of your group suddenly says to you, I keep stringing these things on a row of beads. I know, I says they keep stringing on a row of beads. You say, are you getting rid of any of them? Well, he says, they're on this row of beads, and it flies off into the far distance. You say, well, after this, see if you can't make them fly off into the far distance after you've mocked them up. Now, you can't just stop in that particular unit, you should, perhaps, and handle this individualized problem of automaticity. Because there is your automaticity. And boy, it shows up on black panels, the like of which it never shows up on anything else. You can have mock-ups flying all over the room and kicking up their heels and jumping over the roof and so forth. It's never quite as much as what happens, really, when black panels start to break up and the automatic machinery for them starts to key in. They'll fly away to the right and fly away to the left and string themselves on beads and pile themselves up as mattresses and change themselves into doll deck carriages and do all sorts of things. Zing, zing, zing. And unless your PC has triggered that very automaticity and so forth, he hasn't done too much. But remember, you're doing a process which undoes automaticity. So the tenure of the automaticity should be very brief. It should come under control rather easily. And one doing the process should recognize an automaticity when he sees it and just duplicate it. Make it a little more so is all he has to do. And all of a sudden, it's under his control. Somebody really starts bogging down with a terrific automaticity, just turn around and fix him up in the group. But a man should be able to, just if he sees a lot of purple dots all of a sudden are swinging around in front of his face, have him throw a few more in there. And all of a sudden, why, you got that under control. Now, what's the rest that you should do with this blackness? All right, here's your next drill on it. You make the front wall black with effort in it. The side wall black with effort in it. The back wall black with effort in it. The other wall black with effort in it. The ceiling black with effort in it. The floor black with effort in it. And each time with the feeling it must persist. Effort. And they all of a sudden realize effort is the postulate you put in about persistence. Whatever it is. All right. It's your next stage. Now, you vary this with a person who is running it by throwing in every so often something about emotion, and you duplicate it each time. Any kind of a basic emotion like tiredness, effort, it's not an emotion, of course, but you just have to put effort in these walls without any attention to blackness for a little while. Now, there's another drill that comes in there. Have the walls of the room telling the preclear where he isn't, and refusing to tell him where he is. Very specifically, it works best when have the walls of the room refuse to tell him where he is. You run that right now. Have the front wall refuse to tell you where you are. Side wall refuse to tell you where you are. The back wall refuse to tell you where you are. The other wall refuse to tell you where you are. The ceiling refuse to tell you where you are. The floor refuse to tell you where you are. Now have the upper corner of the room there refuse to tell you where you are. The lower corner of that room refused to tell you where you were. Now, have the upper corner of the room refuse to tell somebody else where he is. Of course, you go on through the corners of the room with that, and then go into have the upper corner of the room refuse to tell you where somebody else is. And refuse to tell somebody else where you are. That would be your total bracket. Got that? Well, now you vary that with your five level or occluded level case. You vary the processing because he gets pretty fighty. Now, if somebody who has a great deal of occlusion starts to get too fighty, for heaven's sakes, remember that I read you an Abbott company piece of advertising that said that B1 did something for blackness and occlusion, and that it said specifically when the preclear becomes very restive and his legs start to jerk, it said, according to Dr. Hubbard, who insists now that he be called Mr. Hubbard, it said, you must feed him with Abbott and Company's handy Jim Dandy little B1 pills to the amount of about 200 cc, preferably 200 cc. Well, yes, that would be a little bit, wouldn't it? Well, that was their misprint. <laughs> 200 milligrams and some calcium in milk, probably. If you could take them in milk, it's much better. Couple of hundred milligrams. Somebody occluded, it said in the folder. Somebody occluded, starts to get jumpy under this, why pump it in. But there's another method, which I can give you now, which is just as good, and that's put franticness in the walls. But if you're going to start putting franticness in brackets for a case that's down the line and fresh out of space, boy, you just make sure if you're doing the auditing at that moment, or you start to get groggy and somebody else starts doing the auditing at that moment in the unit. Boy, you make sure that you beat that to death, you understand? I mean, don't start in on franticness and then skip it. You understand that? Because it'll actually throw some PCs in convulsions. And they'll run right on out, just as nice as you please, if you just keep on duplicating the feeling of franticness in the various walls. See that? Now we have a specialized one. And, of course, this is still under step two. Put up a body to resist all effects of auditing. Put it up a couple of times in brackets. Now, boy, don't forget that. That's for everybody. That's for everybody. putting up a couple of bodies in brackets. Let's say run it in a bracket each time, two bodies up there, to resist all auditing. All of your PCs will blow up and disappear, and you'll feel so much better, you'll wonder how the devil you ever got to feeling bad. You understand that? Now, you can vary that, and there's a different method of varying it, which is very simple, is resist all effect of engrams. Remember, all effects of auditing is the main one. Resist all effect of engrams, resist all effect of other people's thinking, resist all effect of other people's control mechanisms. You can go on and on with that if you want to, but the one which is closest and most pertinent to you is this matter of auditing. Yes, must persist. Now you must remember to put that up there. The auditing must persist to you. Because you've gotten a lot of that down into the effort band. All right. What is duplication?
Duplication is continually mocking up what you have over and over again.
Oh, you mock up something new over and over again, but you just say you're duplicating. Now that's very good, very good. Why do you do duplication?
Because you have automatic machinery which keeps doing it. You want the particular to assume control of the automatic machinery.
Good. And how does the automatic, what's its prime functional operation?
Of the process or the automatic machinery?
Of the automatic machinery.
Just to make everything persist.
That's right. And how do you make anything persist?
By duplicating.
That's right. That's right. All right. What's blackness doing?
Cover me up.
What's it doing? That's all you get. That's right. That's correct. What is blackness doing?
Helping to resist all effects.
That's right. That's right. Okay. What does this have to do with survival?
Well, it's just comfort to survive.
What is?
Having you be in effect and still being able to control it. Because to survive, you must get under.
Go over that again. Let me make the question much more specific. What does resisting all effects have to do with survival? What does duplication have to do with survival?
Duplication is trying to make it to persist all the time.
Can persistence occur without duplication? Right. See that clearly? What is automaticity? That's right. Why do people do this? Why do people do this? That's right. Why do people do this?
I got a machine that throws away the answer.
That lost word, randomity. Somebody picked up this word, by the way, early in Scientology for their randomity. People have trouble with it ever since. It's simply a way of stating the ratio of predicted to unpredicted motion necessary to interest an individual. They have automaticity to produce randomity. When a case has too much randomity, it is because he has set up too many things in automaticity. When he does not have enough randomity, he has not set up enough automaticity, or he has set up too much automaticity, which cancels itself. Simple. What are the essential parts of the process we're doing? Just give me four essential parts of the process we're doing.
The duplication between the freeing of the emotion for the full realization that we place the effect and get the receiver back again.
Right.
We're becoming aware of automaticity.
Right. Let's restate that one. We're taking our automaticity under control.
Yeah. Well, that's becoming
clear. Well, that,
once you're aware, then you have a choice.
No.
Well, my supervision.
No. Roll up your sleeves. Get your hands dirty, because you're going to take over every automatic machine we can lay our hands on. Mm-hmm. And then we'll put you in a condition whereby you can set up new ones.
Yeah,
okay, give me one more. One more. Awareness is not taking control of.
No.
You can look at something without grabbing it.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go one more. It's the one you're doing right this minute.
Thinking machine?
No.
Okay.
You got that.
I am in a way.
Come on.
In black?
Nope.
I'm guessing now.
Resisting all effects. You see how sneaky one that is.
And Ron, when you were an awareness, that was an analogy, a beautiful analogy for me when you said about the black curtains. Tom worked with me last night on that. And creating them, duplicating them. This morning, this analogy came. The photographer puts in a black something because he's never quite ready to take the picture. And we're never quite ready to see clear.
Mm.
The postulate there.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite ready to see clear because the subject isn't. Oh. In the form in which we'd like it.
That's fine. That's fine.
That was a clear analogy.
All right. Now let's look at those four essential parts, what you're doing. First one, survival. And the necessity if one survives, then, to resist other effects which don't want him to survive. And one puts that in so strongly that he simply says, resist all effects, and that becomes, in the messed universe, conservation of energy. See that? Conservation of energy is just resist all effects. With a lot of energy around that does, too. It's asbestos, you can't burn it, and so forth. But people do manage to put it out in sheets. There's all sorts of things. Nearly everything is tailored up to resist a majority of effects. And here, that is survival. Resist all effects, which is persistence, which is why the case persists, which is why the case doesn't change. Now, if you can start altering a piece of automatic machinery, by the way, if you start altering a piece of automatic machinery, you start taking control of it. You take control of it a little bit by changing an emotion. By changing a color, by altering the effort, and always by duplicating it. You start duplicating the machine, and the machine will stop duplicating. It's a little motto for you. That's the next one, is duplication. You start duplicating the machine, and it'll stop duplicating. People have these automaticities, and that is other responsibility. They have these automaticities. The way they get them back is to create and destroy symbols of the automaticities. Or waste, save, accept, desire, be curious about, in brackets. It's the same machinery. Or create and destroy it. And there's another process, which you will run into later on, and I might as well mention it, because I use it in auditing all the time. Throwing postulates into the things and blowing them up. It's real cute. I hadn't done it for a long time. Doing it this morning. I called it to my attention. See that? It must persist. Now mark up some black curtain and put the postulate in it. It must persist. Okay. Now you put the other postulate in it. It must persist. After a while, it gets silly that you keep putting this postulate in it. And then you can blow up one of them. So you can blow up the postulate. It must persist. Well, you'll blow up the whole darn thing. Now the other one, another little caution here, is... Remember this, by the way, the next one on that little list I was getting there is just location. That's a covert one, but every time you're putting something up, you're locating. Yes, sneaking in on the process. We got a process that does a lot of sneaky little things. It slips into the cogwheels. All right. You start doing these things in brackets, and even more will start happening than has been happening. And wherever you employ your steps 1 and 2, just remember what you're doing. With step 1, you are locating. You are locating. And the purpose of your doing that location is to get the pre-clear so high on the tone scale, he does not have to be located. And that is the goal of step 1. He knows where he is, and knowingness is sufficient location for him. And when he sees location and points and so forth, boy, it all gets brighter than the... Oh, it's real bright. I mean, it really gets polished. He really is certain where he is. Well, that's the goal of step 1. You get him up to a point where he knows where he is all the time, then his sole interest in location is locating other things with relationship to other things. It has no effect upon him. As long as he's being affected by location, he's in poor shape. All right, now let's get the goal of step 2. The goal of step 2 is being capable of handling and controlling, being part of or detached from any and all automaticities. That's the goal of step 2. We're going to solve these goals just like we've been solving them.